there were the Dark Ages. Of course, that's being questioned today. In fact, it's being questioned whether there was such a thing as an apostasy. But you can take my word for it, there was an apostasy. Not of the Church of Jesus Christ, but an apostasy of men from the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church never apostatized. It went into the wilderness and was hidden. When it returned in 1830, you'll find in section 5 of the Doctrine and Covenants, quote, "In this the beginning of the rising up of my Church, coming forth out of the wilderness." The Church fled, but it carried with it the infant kingdom, which was caught up to God. You'll find that also in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation in the inspired version. Now it's after the coming of the bright and the morning star, as we watched on that hilltop, we saw gradually the light of day, first as a faint speck, and then gradually widening until we could see the ridge of the mountains in the distance miles away. And as we watched and waited, gradually the stars faded into the light of the new day, and the final star to be extinguished was the bright morning star. Gradually the rim of the sun came over the horizon. No one knows just what second it came, for the time is always approximate. Gradually, as the sun rose over the view, it scattered the mist in the valleys between, gradually dissipated those mists. And when those mists were dispersed, as we stood in the full light of day, there was opened to our view the most beautiful expansion of the earth's surface I've ever seen. We could see the cities, the villages, we could see the farms. It was really a magnificent sight. And I thought of the statement of our Lord, quote, "As the light of the morning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be," unquote. Now when did the light begin to shine from the east? Where were the first faint glimpses of the new day? It happened in the soul of a man named Columbus, who, tradition says, was a Jew. Of him, George Santayana, the Spanish-American philosopher-poet, said, quote, "O world, thou choosest not the better part. It is not wisdom to be only wise, and on the inward vision close the eyes, but it is wisdom to believe the heart," unquote. And notice this. He appeals to history to substantiate his point of view when he says, quote, "Columbus found a world and had no chart, save one that faith deciphered in the skies. To trust his soul's invisible surmise was all his science and his only art," unquote. "Our knowledge is a torch of smoky pine," he continues, "which lights the pathway but one step ahead across the void of mystery and dread. Bid then the tender light of faith to shine, by which alone the mortal heart is led unto the thinking of the thought divine," unquote. The Book of Mormon tells us that Columbus was wrought on by the Spirit of God, and the first faint gleam of the dawn of the coming day out of the east, after Columbus decided to sail through the Pillars of Hercules, and he passed the Pillars of Hercules to get to the Indies westward, not knowing whither he went, not knowing the land that he had discovered. But because of the invincible surmise in his heart, which, as we saw, was the spirit of faith, he obeyed the order of God, and the first glimpse of the new day appeared on the horizon. There's much more we could say about that, of course, but we will refrain this evening. And then in 1513, a few years before that, perhaps, there was a very ugly monk who dwelled in Wittenberg in Germany. He was a superstitious man. One day, he tells us, he threw the inkwell at the devil and had many tussles with him, according to his own insist. Now, an indulgence is a device that if you wanted to commit sin tomorrow, you could pay for it today, and don't then go ahead and commit your sin with sang-froid being perfectly happy in it.